unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our risen Redeemer and ever-living Lord, dear fellow redeemed. Michael Faraday was an English chemist, an electrician, and a philosopher. One day a scientist visited him, and in the course of the conversation he asked Faraday, "Have you ever thought what you will do in the life after death?" Faraday thought for a moment, and then he answered that question with a Bible verse. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And then he added a few words of his own. "I shall be with Jesus, and that's enough." Shortly before his death, he spoke of his faith, and some journalists ask him about his speculation for a life after death. He said, "Speculations? My faith rests on certainties. I know that my Redeemer lives, and because he lives, I shall live also." There was no conflict between Faraday's Christianity and the science in which he was involved. Faraday was an intellectual giant, but his intellect never became his God. He stands in sharp contrast to many loudmouthed scientific amateurs of our day who claim that you cannot be an intelligent thinker and a Christian at the same time. Today, we are observing the festival of the Epiphany, the visit of the wise men from the East who came to Bethlehem to worship the Christ child. Can we be wise, intelligent, and well-educated, and still be a Christian? We turn to God's Word to learn from the wise men. The scripture that we will consider is a portion of the gospel lesson for Epiphany, and our theme will be, O God, give us new direction for the new year. In Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, we read, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." We are observing the festival of Epiphany. On the ancient church calendar, Epiphany has been designated as being January the 6th. Epiphany means manifested. On Epiphany, God fulfilled his promise, and he manifested that to the wise men from the east, that promise was fulfilled. The Savior had been sent. What God did for them, he also wants to do for us. He wants to open our eyes spiritually. He wants to make known to us that God is the God who makes promises, and he's the God who keeps those promises for both body and soul. We ask that God would direct us to these truths that we have in our text. And we can ask all kinds of questions about things that might come to mind. Many people imagine many things when they read Holy Scripture, and then they express their own thoughts as if that were God speaking, but it's their own opinions. With reference to this text before us, people ask, how many wise men were there? Were they rich? Were they kings? As we sing in the song, we three kings of Orient are. From what country did they come? How long did it take them to get from wherever they were to get to Jerusalem to inquire about the promised Savior? Many Christmas cards portray the wise men on the card as worshiping the baby Jesus at the manger. No, they were not at the manger. They came later. And in our text, we're told that they came to the house where Mary and Jesus were. God hasn't given us all of the details. He hasn't given us all of the things for which we ask questions. He has revealed for us in Holy Scripture what we need to know for the strengthening of our personal faith. And in this text, there are things that are much more important than all of the things that we might imagine. They were wise men from the east, and they came at God's direction. Now that is always the wise thing to do. Follow God's direction. People often boast and brag of how learned and how wise we are or think we are, yet we do so many things that show a lack of learning and a lack of real knowledge and understanding. To put it in layman's language, sometimes we do some of the dumbest things. From the wise men, we should learn that in spiritual matters, the only secure and sure thing is go to God's direction. With all of our human knowledge and understanding and learning, we can't save a single soul. Souls are saved according to the Word of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Souls are saved as they come into contact with the Word of God, specifically with the Gospel, through which the Holy Spirit works and calls people to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. In this Word of God before us, we see the wisdom of following God's Word instead of following man's Word. The wise men listened to the instructions of Herod, who thought he was so wise, but they didn't follow his directions. King Herod called the wise men into his private chambers and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." They listened to King Herod, but our text does not tell us that they made any promises to Herod. They didn't follow his request to come back. They listened, and then they left. The Bible doesn't tell us that the wise men knew who King Herod really was and what kind of a person he really was, because he was a lying and deceiving man. He pretended that he wanted to worship Christ also. However, he really didn't care about worshiping Christ. He was worried that Christ, the King, might be a threat to his own throne. King Herod was one of those ruthless rulers of that day, comparable to ruthless rulers whom we have seen in great number during all of our days. Rulers who are ruthless, who think only of themselves, their power, their pleasure, their wealth, their own pockets, and their own glory. And there are rulers like that today throughout the world, including in our own country. Only God knows how many people today pretend, like Herod, that they want to worship Christ. They are the people who try to give the impression that they mean well, but really they couldn't care less about what Christianity teaches. There are people who, like Herod, only play church, as we say. They go through the right motions. They can try to maintain some type of a church membership. After all, it's a nice place for a baptism. A church is a nice place for a very beautiful wedding. And it's a nice place for a quiet time at the time of a funeral. But there are those who look to the church as something they only want to use. And many times they want to use it for free, according to their own whims and wishes. But what is God's directive as to reference of the church? He's speaking not about denominations, but God wants us to be members of the Holy Christian Church, in which we are members by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to come confessing our sin and putting all our trust and hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus, who suffered, died, and rose again to redeem us. The wise men really give us a good example to follow and what it means to be spiritually wise. We're told when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They found the King of the Jews, Jesus, for whom they had been seeking. And when they entered the house, we are told that they worshipped Jesus. They didn't worship or pray to Mary his mother, or to Joseph, or to anybody else. No, they show us the wise thing to do. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And that's exactly what they did. They worshiped their Lord and Savior. There are people who refuse to bow down before the Lord Jesus, but they bow down in front of the idol of human wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That is not spiritually wise. That's bowing down to foolishness. There are those who really don't want to trust in God. And yet, when you listen to them talk, they show that they're trusting in their own opinions and ideas and everything that they can think up. That is not wise. We know in so many ways what people pawn off as wisdom one day is in a few days pawned off as foolishness. The faith and hope of the wise men from the East was not merely a matter of the mouth. It was from the heart. It was genuine. Perhaps all of you have heard the old expression, put your money where your mouth is. That's exactly what the wise men did. They worshipped and then they opened their treasures and gave to the Christ child gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were among the most costly gifts of that day. They were, as we say, gifts fit for a king. Jesus was the king of their hearts and the Lord of their lives. We've just come through the Christmas season, often referred to as the season for giving. We have given gifts to our spouses, to our children, to our in-laws, parents and grandparents, brothers and sisters, to friends and acquaintances far and near. Now, here's a question. Have we also given a gift to God? Some people have spent so much on gifts for others, they have nothing left for the Lord, ever. Think about it. Put your money where your mouth is. You say you love the Lord, you love his church, you love his house, then show it. And I'm sure that that's exactly what you have done at Christmas time. But there are many people throughout the whole world who don't give gifts to God. In the matter of Christian giving, there is indeed a need to pray, Lord, lead us another way and give us new direction. Many times when people talk about new direction, it amounts only to so many empty words. There are those indeed who will grant that we need new direction, but they feel that this always applies to somebody else. Listen to the people in government or from different political parties who speak like Herod. They readily grant there's a need for change, but it's always somebody else that is supposed to change. Listen to what people say in the area of labor and management. Many conclude that we need to do things differently and we need change, but it's always somebody else that is supposed to change. Think of spouses who are quarreling, and they will both agree there's a need for change, but it's the other one that is always supposed to change. While we often ask for change, hopefully for the better, and seek new direction, we often feel that change has to take place with somebody else, and we fail to see the need for change on our own part. The wise men received a directive from God in a dream, and they followed it. Our text reads, "Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." God did what he had to do to protect the wise men's lives and the life of also that baby Jesus. What Herod would have done to them had they returned to him, only God knows. As I mentioned earlier, we do not know whether the wise men had promised anything to King Herod. They simply listened to what Herod had to say, and then they left. It reports only what is important for us to remember. Now our text tells us that they listened to God rather than listening to a man. And that's always the wise thing to do. They put God first. And, of course, Scripture tells us, even with reference to people in government, while we should honor them and follow the law, it's only to a point. As Scripture says, we ought to obey God rather than men. From those Eastern men, we have a lot to learn. And we also learn that it's a wise thing to heed God's words of warning. And Scripture gives us many words of warning. What a price people pay because they ignore the Word of God with its warning. What a price people are paying throughout the world for all of the sexual perversion, the sexual promiscuity and adultery, for the illegal use of drugs and excessive drinking. What a price is being paid now in ruined bodies and minds, and worst of all, the loss of the salvation of souls. Only God knows what price will be paid in future generations when God visits the sins of the fathers upon the children, as Scripture says. There are many who follow blind leaders of the blind, and Jesus said anybody who does that, they both fall into the ditch, and they destroy not only their bodies, but also their souls. Today we pray that God would give us new direction for the new year, 2015. Let's do what these wise men did. Let's seek Jesus first. And when they found him, they worshiped him. The Savior once said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me." You have to go to Scripture in order to learn about the Lord and Savior Jesus. Listen carefully to what he says, and then heed his directive. Follow me. Yes, follow him. And so, on this Epiphany Festival, we pray, Lord, lead us another way. Lord, give us new direction for the new year. And if we heed that, we will have a blessed 2015. 15. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Almighty God, creator and possessor of the universe, in your holy word you have said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, the land is mine, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Again it is written, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Humbly we come confessing our sins of failure to realize at all times that all things are yours. Have mercy upon us, and by your Holy Spirit teach us to confess. When we give and give our best, we give thee only what is thine. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you came bringing light and life and hope to a world that lies in spiritual darkness and under the shadow of eternal death. As the Gentile wise men knelt and adored you, so we bow our hearts in praise to you, our Savior and King. O dear Redeemer, you came once long ago to dwell for a time among people. Come and graciously find a permanent dwelling place in our hearts. Forgive our sins and fill us with the joy and peace that comes through the sure hope of everlasting life. Day by day, increase our appreciation and trust for all you have done to redeem us from our sins and to reconcile us to God. As the wise men brought you gifts in token of their worship, so may we present you with the precious fruits of faith, our hearts filled with love for you, our wills bound in holy obedience to your word, our minds eager to grasp the truths of salvation, our lips ready to declare these truths to others, our hands willing to give help where it is needed, our earthly treasures freely shared with you, and finally, our senses ever alert to the sights and sounds of your reappearing. O keep us from backsliding into sin and unbelief. Precious Lord, praise be also to the Father in heaven, who by sending you to be our Savior, has commanded the light of the hope of everlasting life to shine into a sin-darkened world. And praise also be to the Holy Spirit, who has caused this light to shine gloriously in our own hearts, delivering us from the shadow of eternal death. Savior of the nations, light of the Gentiles, and glory of Israel, shine your bright gospel beam of life and salvation into the farthest corners of the world and into the darkest recesses of human hearts, that people everywhere will be drawn to you, and lead us at last out of this evil world of darkness to heaven, where we will enjoy with all saints and angels a life that will never end. We ask it in your name, O Christ, the light of the world, who shines in us, and who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, a steadfast faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love to you and to all our fellow men. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.